and its new time of 6 until 7 p.m. Tune in, if you dare.
I'm Jen Siggett, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
This is a pre-recorded presentation of Impact.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Southeast Michigan, world-renowned and musically spectacular, Motor City Brass Band.
Welcome to this edition of Impact, a talk show on the fourth Thursday of the month, where we look at people, groups, etc., who are making a positive difference in this community, the Southeast Michigan area, especially Dearborn Heights area. And today we have a special guest, Ernie Richardson. Ernie from the Brass Band, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you, Lynn. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we're listening in the background to a little bit of the Motor City Brass Band. And you have an upcoming concert, and you're going to talk to us a little bit today about what's going on in the community and the upcoming concert. And why don't we get back to that and listen to the end of this great cut. Some great work by the Motor City Brass Band. And Ernie, when does the Motor City Brass Band strike up next?
Our next concert will be the 22nd of May at the beautiful Michael Guido Theater in the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center here in Dearborn. And that's our home theater. We present four concerts there a year. And the next one is entitled Music of the Americas. And that's the one that'll be on the 22nd of May.
Mm-hmm. And that's a Sunday, right?
That's a Sunday. The concert time is 3 o'clock. And we hope that lots of our listeners will take advantage of this opportunity to hear us live. We just have returned from the North American Brass Band Association competition in Grand Rapids, where we took third place in the first division. So we're very proud of ourselves. We were against some very, very good bands with all professional players, and to come in third in the first division is a real feather in our cap.
All right, congratulations on that. That's very exciting. Local group and makes local group does good, right?
Absolutely.
That's great. And what else is on the agenda? I know you guys do a lot of great work with students, and the entire Motor City Brass Band is made up of volunteers. So it's a fantastic organization.
Absolutely. We're very fortunate. A lot of our members actually are either present or retired music educators, and most all of us have a pretty strong background in music, even on a college level. Mm-hmm. So we have 35 players, of which three are percussionists and the rest are brass players. The interesting thing is that this is modeled after the British Brass Band, which does not have any woodwinds in it. It's all brass players, which is a little different sound than most American audiences are used to hearing when they've heard high school or college bands, which are concert bands, including woodwinds in them. So all of our instrumentation, we have one soprano cornet, a lot of cornets, some tenor horns, euphoniums, baritones, trombones, a bass trombone, and two kinds of tubas, and then the percussionists who do a little bit of everything. So it's a little different sound, and we think it's a very wonderful sound, and we encourage people to come out and hear the sound on Music of the Americas. This is our final concert series concert in this year's offerings until we begin again with our fall season in October with Horns and Howls, which is our annual Halloween concert. Right. A lot of spooky music and a lot of fun. All of the band members dress up in costume. We encourage audience members to come in costume. Mm-hmm. And for the children, there's a little prize for the best costumes for them. Then that's followed by Sounds of the Season, a holiday concert in December. And then we have Motor City Festival of Bands, which is five bands all presenting some of their music for about 20 minutes each, and then combining to form a around 300-piece masked band, which then presents two pieces as a grand finale to the whole thing. And then our fourth concert, which next year is supposed to be the Peaceable Sounds of Motor City Brass Band, and that'll be in May again.
Okay, so a little different approach then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. And I understand you're going to be going out to some schools and making some presentations. Tell me about that. What is that all about?
Absolutely. We have always seen it as our joy and our responsibility to bring the sound of brass band to high school students. And we do that in a variety of ways, the first of which is outreach concerts, where we go into a high school and present a concert. In many cases, we also present a master class workshop before the concert for the high school students, where we bring in a name performer who will give a master class with these students, impart some knowledge to them as well before the concert. Then they get to hear that person as a soloist with the brass band, and to hear the wonderful sounds of brass bands as well. So we'll be doing two of those coming up very shortly. The 23rd of May, right after our concert at Ford Community Performing Arts Center, we're doing a concert at Lamphere High School in Madison Heights, featuring Chris Johnson, a wonderful trumpet player who's going to be soloing with the band and also giving some information to the young people about brass techniques. So that's one of our outreach concerts. Then in June, we'll be presenting a outreach concert at Dakota High School. And our clinician there will be Phil Cinder, a wonderful tuba player, who again will be doing a clinic for the students and also soloing with us as well at the evening's concert. Need to emphasize that in both cases, while these gentlemen have a particular instrument that is their specialty, they impart knowledge about brass technique in general, so that while Phil Sinder, as an instance, plays tuba, he makes remarks that are also helpful to even a trumpet player at the top end of the scale as far as brass instruments go. So helpful for them no matter what instrument they particularly play.
I see. How do the students generally react to the brass band coming in? Because that's a little different from music that they're probably hearing on the radio, might be a little different from the music that they're playing if they are involved with some of the groups at the particular high school also.
Absolutely. We've had some very positive feedback from students who said, wow, that's a whole different sound. I really like it. And the nice thing about it is that we perform such a wide variety of music. Everything from jazz to some light rock to classics as well. So they're exposed to a wide variety of musical genre, all played in them with brass instruments. So they get to hear some music that's familiar and music that might not be so familiar, but it's very, also very applicable to them as well. So
okay. What sort of follow-up occurs after the concert at one of these high schools?
Well, all of these students are invited at one time or another to audition for the Motor City Youth Brass Band, which is another of our outreach activities. We have for 4 years now sponsored Motor City Youth Brass Band, which was this year 25 young people playing together. We provide instruments that they might not have available to them through the high schools that they go to. As an instance, a lot of young people play trumpets. Brass bands use cornets, which are a little different, and we provide them the use of those while they're playing in the Motor City Youth Brass Band. Another thing is the average high school band uses French horns. A brass band uses tenor horns, and we provide those, as well as other things like tubas and so forth that they might not have available.
Could you describe the difference between those two horns?
The cornets or the tenor horns?
The tenor horns.
Okay. Most people are familiar with the French horn. That's the one that wraps around in a coil.
Right.
And the bell exits toward the back and normally has the player's hand in it. In order to stop it and make different qualities of sound. Very familiar both from orchestras and from concert bands. We use an upright tenor horn where the bell goes up into the air, and it is in about the same range of notes as far as vocal range goes, or pitch range.
Okay.
But it's because the bell is up and it's not stopped, and you get more of the sound directed toward the audience. And we think that makes a little brighter and more interesting sound. It's always been that way with brass bands.
Okay, so that would be an English tradition then, too. You were talking
Absolutely.
About the English. Okay.
We borrow our instrumentation and our tradition from British bass bands, which have been in existence for at least 150 years.
Okay.
That tradition was brought over originally to the United States by the Salvation Army. Believe it or not, Salvation Army used brass bands in their worship services. And so they brought them over. It's said that General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, heard a brass band in England and said, why should the devil have all the good music? I'd like to have some as well. I want you to create a brass band. And that was the start of Salvation Army brass banding. And
wow.
They have remained the guardian of brass band movement in the United States for a long time. And then the brass band movement began to grow and secular brass bands developed. In fact, ours was started by a officer in the Salvation Army, John Aaron, who wanted a band where he could play secular music as well as what he needed to in the Salvation Army. So he got together a number of brass people and began Motor City Brass Band over 15 years ago.
Wow, okay. Very interesting. The whole idea of the brass band, I think we often think of the marching band and the parades and what have you, and the Salvation Army, I think a lot of people think about that. Very interesting history to this. With regards to the youth orchestra, the youth brass band, do they play with you or do they perform their own concerts?
They perform their own concerts. They rehearse at Page Middle School in Madison Heights in the Lamphere District, and then give a concert at Lamphere High School, normally one a year. And we also have, on one occasion, did a summer music camp in which some of the youth brass band members participated and also some other students who, for some reason or another, were not able to participate in that but wanted to experience brass banding. And so they came to this intensive one-week brass band camp that we put on.
Wow. And do a lot of the students, or do any of the students after they, or as they are in college at that level, and they are in fact adults, do many of those members go on to join the Motor City Brass Band?
Well, that's certainly the hope, is that we will encourage them to be able to take a place in the adult band at some time or another. Right now, our best youth brass band players have been going off to college, unfortunately, mostly away from this area, going off to Michigan and Michigan State and places like that. Had one went to Indiana University and so forth. So they haven't had the opportunity as much to use them. Our hope is that when they're done with their university career, and if they move back in this area, they'll want to certainly continue playing with us after that, and that we'll be able to fit them into with us as adults.
Right. How large is the youth band?
This year it was 25 young people, and came from 10 different high schools. So,
And the Motor City Brass Band is made up of how many players?
We have about 35 as of the moment. Three percussionists, and as I say, the rest are brass players.
Right, okay. That's great group, great sound. Why don't we take a little break and hear some of that great music from the Motor City Brass Band? I think we have a piece lined up for, let's see, which one is that? I forgot. let's see, this is America the Beautiful. It's some of the patriotic music by the Motor City Brass Band.
Thank you.
Well, that's pretty inspiring. What do you think, Ernie?
Well, of course, I certainly have a little prejudice and and think so, because I'm part of those that made the music.
That was a great sound. We have, you said that we have a ticket giveaway for any of our listeners who are interested in the May 22nd concert.
Absolutely. Again, that concert is at 3 o'clock, entitled Music of the Americas. And if you call in here to the station, then you'll give them the number, I'm sure.
I will do that.
You can perhaps win a pair of tickets to that concert at the beautiful Michael Guider Theater in the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center in lovely downtown Dearborn.
Okay. The number to call is 845-9676, option number one, and do that at the end of the show, please. Alrighty. And how do we find out more about the Motor City Brass Band?
Well, the best way is to visit our website, www.mcbb.org. And all kinds of information, some pictures of various members of the band, different information about upcoming concerts, and everything you need to know about Motor City Brass Band.
And that's that address again?
It is www.mcbb.org.
Okay, pretty easy.
Absolutely.
Okay. Some of the other community-type outreach projects that the Motor City Brass Band has is a soloist competition. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. For the last 4 or 5 years, we have held a competition where brass students can submit a audition tape initially to the band, and then the finalists are invited in for to perform a live audition, and the top winner of that audition becomes our scholarship winner. They receive a small scholarship to continue their music studies, and also a plaque, a very nice plaque, and they also get to perform with Motor City Brass Band a solo during our summer outdoor concerts. One of those concerts, we invite them to come and perform that solo with full brass band. Our conductor, music director, Craig Strain, is a wonderful arranger, and oftentimes if their solo doesn't already have a published brass band accompaniment, he will take and create one for that occasion so that they have the experience of appearing with full brass band as a soloist.
And how old are these students?
These are high school students. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we get some seniors that are the winners, and then they go off to college and they have the scholarship money, which they can use for private lessons or music or whatever it is they might need to continue their musical career. We've had some very, very excellent soloists in the past. We had actually had a French horn player, which shows that we aren't prejudiced against the French horn, even though we do think the tenor horn is more beautiful. And we've had a trombone soloist, a euphonium soloist, a tuba soloist. So we've had sort of a variety of different brass instruments that have played with us in the past. Mm-hmm. What we do is send out a call for auditions to all of the music educators in the Michigan area, and that is, I'm told, to be forthcoming very shortly to those band and orchestra teachers, and hopefully, we've always had a pretty good response to it, and we look forward to that again in this year as well.
And when are the auditions?
Well, the auditions will take place after the information goes out, which I understand will probably be next week, the information go out.
Okay. And, so sometime in May, then?
Sometime in May, I would think. Mm-hmm. And then normally they perform with us at one of our outdoor concerts in July or August. We do a number of outdoor concerts throughout the summertime. That's sort of another fun outreach we have. Play concerts in varying communities. We're doing one in Milford this year, one in Grosse Pointe, several other places, even as far as Adrian. We're doing a concert there in September.
So, oh, okay.
We get around, as the saying goes, and certainly enjoy our experience meeting and greeting people in different communities and performing in a little more relaxed setting where people can bring a blanket and sit on the ground, have a little picnic lunch, and enjoy some music under the stars.
Sure. And those concerts are all on your webpage?
They are indeed. We're also doing one in Birmingham. They have a street fair type of situation one weekend, and we had the pleasure of playing for that last year, and we'll be there again this year on the Saturday of that. So it's another occasion where we'll have some fun. We're also going to be up at Fenton as well.
Okay.
So if they visit our webpage, you'll get to see every place where you can come and enjoy a nice outdoor concert. Sort of a call back to the old days when everybody went out during the summer and had a picnic lunch and had a nice opportunity to listen to some nice music under the stars.
And I think the whole idea of the brass band concert is, that is part of Americana. That is kind of a historic thing when you think back to maybe the, like, 30s and 40s, or at least our ideal look back of the 30s and 40s.
Absolutely. Even as a young man myself, the Detroit Concert Band used to give concerts on Belle Isle, and that was a nice place to take a date, rent a canoe, and do a little canoeing and then pull up on the bank by the band shell, have a picnic lunch, and listen to the music.
Wow. Okay. So some great music by the Motor City Brass Band, some great opportunities for students, too. That's very exciting. Ernie, I didn't realize how much outreach was part of the Motor City Brass Band's mantra, if you will. There's a lot of good outreach to students there, a lot of great opportunities.
How we look at ourselves as being sort of the standard bearer for brass band music in this particular area, and want to share it with young people who have not had that opportunity to play or even hear brass band music. So it's our pleasure to do that. We've been very fortunate in having some help in procuring instruments for our young people to use, because brass band instruments are fairly expensive.
Sure.
And so we've had some very good help in that respect through various charities that have also contributed so that we could provide these services to the young people.
Very exciting program. How about a little music break? We have something else queued. You want to tell the listeners about that?
Not sure which one we've got up at the moment.
Let's see. It was... it was number two. Was that this one? A brass thing? Is that... No, can't be that one. Which one do we have here? Discovery? I don't know. You handed me a CD. I put it in. We'll figure it out when we get back. Let's take a listen to this great music right here.
Thank you.
Tell us what you heard.
All right. What you heard was probably the archetypical, most famous euphonium solo, which is a piece called Believe Me of Those Endearing Young Charms. This piece was sort of pioneered and arranged by a man by the name of Simone Mantilla, who was the euphonium soloist with John Philip Sousa's band. And this was his signature piece. Wherever the band appeared, The crowd always wanted to hear Believe Me of All Those Endearing Young Charms. And it has endeared through the many years since then as one of the difficult euphonium pieces and one that almost every euphonium player who aspires to be a soloist is going to play it sometime. We particularly played it because wanted for you to sort of hear the sort of thing that our young people who are solo contest winners play with the band. And this was a typical type of solo that they might play. Also play some other things. Not quite so familiar, but anyway, that's one of the things they might hear with these solo contests. So they pick some very difficult, interesting music to play with us.
There's a lot of energy in that piece.
There is indeed. And it was as famous in its day as the Carnival of Venice and some other pieces were for cornet players.
Right, right.
So these soloists were known for their signature piece. The Blue Balls of Scotland with Arthur Pryor on trombone. And, of course, the Carnival of Venice on the cornet. So there were very famous pieces that were as much a signature to those people as Nessun Dorma was to Pavarotti.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned that this is the type of piece or one of the pieces that the students might use for some of their competition, when the students desire to be part of the competition, do you have suggested pieces for them, or are they allowed to use original pieces, or how does that part of it work?
In general, they generally submit a recording of a piece that's sort of known as a piece played by their particular instrument. As I said, the Haydn Trumpet Concerto, the Carnival of Venice, the Hummel Trumpet Concerto, various pieces like this. There are pieces for basically every brass instrument that are sort of particularly known with that particular instrument.
Right, okay.
French horn has the Mozart Horn Concerto, the various things of this nature that are sort of pieces that everyone plays at some point.
So they are suggested pieces, basically?
No, it's just something that every serious brass student at some point or another runs into when they're taking lessons. You'll be handed the trumpet concerto, the Haydn trumpet concerto, or the Ionesco legend, or some other pieces of that nature. If, like me, you play trumpet or cornet, and of course the other teachers have their ones that are the war horses, you might say.
Right.
That everyone, as part of their development, learns to play.
Right, right. Okay. Is there a place for original competition? Composition?
Absolutely. We certainly have no difference in our mind if they want to play a new and original composition. It's just that in most cases they will play something that their teacher has given them. In some cases they may, if their teacher is a composer as well, they may end up with with an original new composition. And it's certainly fun for us to play some of those new pieces and give them a airing, as it were. And
right.
So in many cases, then Craig has to put on this other hat and do an arrangement for it,
right,
for brass band.
Yes. Yeah, but that's great that they have that kind of a potential exposure. It's fantastic that they have the opportunity, that you guys are giving them that type of opportunity to really shine.
Well, we certainly enjoy it. We, in music, the young people are our future and where music will be in years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And with the trend toward cutting down on music education in public schools, and certainly we feel even more important that we can provide an opportunity for other outlets that young people can still learn the instruments that we love so much.
Right, right. With regards to the Motor City Brass Band, how long has the youth brass band been involved? How far back does that go?
Well, we've done it the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been our first years. Of course, we had to build up and get more. We had less kids involved the first year, and then the second year it took off. Word of mouth, in some cases, the kids, hey, I had a blast last year playing in Motor City Youth Brass Band.
Right.
And passed the word on from one to another. Mm-hmm. With some other kids that they play with in high school bands.
Right. And if it's a good thing, which it is, the word does definitely pass from one to the other.
Absolutely.
Now, yeah. Motor City Brass Band has been around for 15 years.
Right.
And are any of the current members part of that original core?
Absolutely. In fact, a couple of them have been there right from the very beginning. We have about three people that have been plank holders, you might say, people that have mm-hmm. been there right from the beginning. One was actually on the planning committee for this organization as well, and others were there from the very first rehearsal.
Wow.
In fact, one of our tuba players, Ray Murphy, was the one who actually is the reason why we have the privilege of having Craig Strain as our conductor, music director. He had been to one rehearsal, the first rehearsal, and knew Craig Strain and called him up and said, there's a new band starting. It's different than anything you've ever heard before. Why don't you come along and take a listen? Well, Craig got there, heard the band. He was invited to direct a piece, and from then on they asked him to become the music director of the fledgling organization. And he's been with us ever since, much to our great benefit.
Right, right. Well, he's multi-hatted.
Absolutely.
I've heard Craig play blues and the whole array that you guys play. I mean, you can categorize as brass, but it's all over. There's international music, there's holiday music, there's music of the Americas. You have all types of music in your repertoire, which is fantastic.
Absolutely, and that is due in quite a large measure to Craig's arrangements of some pieces that are not actually written for brass band. One instance is that at our upcoming concert, we're going to do Haydar Fialobos's Bacchianus Brasileiras, which is a piece that's originally written for voice and cello. Transcribe that for brass band was a yeoman task, and Craig has done a wonderful job doing it. It's going to be a spectacular piece, and soprano Kim Lang is going to sing that with us, so we're going to...
Wow. Explain, I know I've spoken to you before, and I've spoken to Craig before, about Music of the Americas. Tell us about the approach for that concert.
Well, the approach is that we're going to go all the way from up in Canada with a piece all the way down to Central America. And by the way, I need to correct myself. The Bacchianus Brasileiras is being sung by Michelle Marzalkowski, not Kim Lang. We're having both ladies sing at that concert. But Michelle will be the soloist for the Vila-Lobos piece. Anyway, to continue, we have some music from America itself, including selections from West Side Story, the America piece from that, as well as America the Beautiful. We're going to do a piece, Tito Puente's piece, Oye Come Va, then we're going to do a piece called Espen Harlan, which is about Spanish Harlem here in the United States, so in New York. And so we're going to feature that. Then we're going to have a euphonium soloist, Dr. Ken Kreshi, who is a professor of low brass at Oakland University. He's going to do a piece called The Yellow Rose of Texas, which is variations on that particular piece. A lot of different music, trying to cover the variety from North to South America and in between.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And it'll be less crowded than the last concert?
Well, the last concert we had them, we're always thrilled when that happens. It's wonderful to play to a packed house and for a festival of bands where we had the massed bands and the...
That's what I was referring to, the 300 people on stage. I wasn't able to get there, and I really wanted to, because I really wanted to see what that looks like.
Well, we've done that twice, and it's been absolutely a wonderful experience, except for the person who makes it all happen. It's a nightmare for him, because he has to figure out how to cram all of us on the stage in sort of some sort of order where all the cornets and trumpets are together, and the tenor horns and French horns are together as well, because three of the bands participating are concert bands and do have woodwinds, and the standard band instrumentation, and two of the bands are brass bands. So at any rate, he has done a great job, and for 2 years now, figuring out this whole thing. It's sort of like moving an army, and it's just...
Yes.
and we have had such great fun doing it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's exciting, really exciting. And we have the concert coming up on May 22nd, which is exciting, too. We'll wrap it up and talk about that after we take a little musical interlude. Would you like to tell us about the upcoming piece? We'll talk about it when we get back. That was Rolling Thunder. Tell us about Rolling Thunder, Ernie.
Rolling Thunder is what is called in circus parlance a screamer. This was a march that was written for the circus by Carl King, who wrote several marches for the circus. And screamers were marches that generally heralded the approach of clowns, for one thing, and were fast and very technically difficult. And this one is certainly that. If you noticed, everyone, Craig's position on this particular piece is, I direct it as fast as I can until I see the panic in their eyes. And there are occasions when he has gotten us really in full swing, and I think he has seen the panic in our eyes occasionally. But it's one of our favorite marches. A few years ago, we did a concert called Under the Big Top, which had a number of circus-themed pieces, both marches and other pieces that are associated with the circus. Actually had jugglers and other people who took part. Had one person on a unicycle that juggled while they did that.
Really?
Clowns and so forth. Our motto is, it's not just a concert, it's a show.
Right.
And
right.
So we try and do that with each of our concerts, be a little more fun than just a stage concert where you go and you hear some nice music, but not much else happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's Rolling Thunder, a Screamer, otherwise known as the Circus March, by Carol King.
All righty. Well, I learned a lot of terms today. Again, give us a call after the show. This is a pre-recorded show, so give us a call after 2 for the tickets to the upcoming May 22nd, and we'll get you on the guest list for that. And again, that number is 845-9676, option number 1. And Ernie, thank you so much for being part of Impact today. It's been a great amount of fun for me.
Mine as well. I always enjoy visiting WHFR and talking about Motor City Brass Band, Motor City Youth Brass Band, and the upcoming events in our brass band life.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And frankly, I'm going to have to ask you which cut you wanted to play from this last one. This is from the kind of an Americana collection.
Absolutely. And I think we'll play a little bit of No Business Like Showbiz. The Irving Berlin selection.
Okay. See that for 1 second. Thanks again for coming, and boy, it's been fun. So keep in mind, students, if you are brass students and you're interested in pursuing a career in that area, this is an excellent, excellent place to tutor, I guess is the good way to put it.
Absolutely. Please visit our website at mcbb.org. For further information, there is a contact bar on there where you can get further information, and certainly we welcome calls and are happy to talk to you about perhaps joining Motor City Youth Brass Band or solo competition, other things of that nature. So please do so.
Okay. Thanks so much. This has been Impact, and we're going to send you out with No Business Like Show Business from the Motor City Brass Band.
Thank you. Additional support for Are We Alone provided by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/arewealone for your free audiobook download.
Well, Molly, if I only had the time and the cash, I'd...
WHFR.FM would like to thank everyone who pledged their support to us during Radiothon 2011. If you missed it, make your tax-deductible donation online now at www.whfr.fm. That's www.whfr.fm. And again, thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What do you get when you take a bunch of public radio nerds and shut them in a room with computer geeks? Well, in addition to some bizarrely socially awkward offspring, you get the Public Radio Player. It's a new iPhone app that streams hundreds of public radio stations, including this one, straight to your iPhone and iPod Touch. You can get more information at publicradioplayer.org.
Ah, the many colors of the blues. And you can hear them on WHFR's latest blues compilation, Uncut Detroit 3, Live Studio Blues, featuring local artists Bugs Beddo, Thornetta Davis, Eileen Orr, Kenny Parker, Robert Penn, Harmonica Shaw, and Joe Weaver. This CD has received great reviews, and we know that you will love it too. Support independent radio and order your copy of Uncut Detroit 3 Live Studio Blues for only $12. Go to our website at whfr.fm or give us a call at 313-845-9676.
Here's First Lady Michelle Obama and Justin Verlander of the Detroit Tigers for Let's Move.
There are so many fun and easy things we can do to be healthier.
First, set aside an hour a day to get up and play.
Second, play can be anything. Catch, tag, just running around.
Third, eat healthier. It's key to the whole game plan.
Everyone can play. Visit letsmove.gov and get moving.
A message from Let's Move, USDA, the Ad Council, MLB, and the players.
WHFR, Dearborn.
Each Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m., WHFR Radio takes you back to the day when radio drama was king with old-time radio mysteries. Join us for ongoing episodes of shows like Suspense, The Whistler, The Chase, Inner Sanctum, and much more. Presented in 2 half-hour episode serials each week, we invite you to enjoy old-time radio mysteries.